He must have had a radiant joy because this little boy lifted his face and went down into the village and told the preacher. He said, "There's a man up there and you need to go see him." And so the preacher went up and knew it was Adoniram Judson. And just the expression on his face made such an impression on that little boy. You know, that little boy turned out to be Henry Clay Trumbull, a great preacher in his own right. And one day he wrote out his memoirs. And one chapter in the story of his life was what a little boy saw in the face of Adoniram Judson. He saw something in that man that changed his life. May God see that joy in us. Not only that, it's a great encouragement to other believers. You know, the Bible not only says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, but there's another part in there. Sometimes we leave it out. But exhorting one another. We ought to assemble together and exhort one another. That word exhort means encourage, motivate. Say, come on, let's serve God. And we ought to do that for one another. Amen. You know, don't come to church, just plop down in a seat and say, somebody bless me. Come to be a blessing. Amen. Shake hands with people and be friendly with people and be on the lookout for visitors. And let them leave this place and say, I don't know if I'm going back the way that preacher skinned me alive, but I'll tell you one thing, that's about the happiest place I ever was. I like that song. Well, I went down to an old camp meeting just for to see the sight. But I got such a hearty greeting that I went back every night. Amen. That's the way church ought to be. It's an encouragement to other believers when we have the joy of the Lord. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, these men down in her dad's church, down in Cannleton, many years ago, these men, when I would walk in the door as a teenager, as a 9-10-year-old boy, well, I don't remember them when I was 9 or 10, because it started out in her dad's trailer. He was a construction worker, and the church started in his trailer. And my mom, as a 9-year-old boy, took me up to that trailer to church, and I was embarrassed, to be honest with you, going in on Sunday morning with my mom. My dad didn't go, but went in, and then they moved to another building. But people got saved in that church. Construction workers got saved. Hardened sinners got saved. And when I'd walk in that church, there'd be a group of men standing there and big smile on their face. I'm talking like 5 or 6 men. And brother, they hadn't been to pastor school where they said, you ought to do this, you ought to do this, do this. You know, they hadn't been placed there by the pastor. My pastor back then, her dad, he'd never heard of anything like pastor school. He never heard of going to Bible college. He grew up in the mountains of Tennessee in the days of the Depression and never went past the 5th grade. Had to go out in the log woods and help his dad make a living for 13 kids. That was her dad. But he got saved in those mountains. And he came to know the Lord and he tried to memorize the Bible. He didn't have any formal education. He had the best kind of education. He had the mind of Christ. And God used that man. I wouldn't be here today, I'm sure, if it wasn't for him. But those men had gotten saved. And when I walked in that church, there they were with these big smiles, shaking my hand. Some of them would grab me and give me a hug. And as a teenager, I didn't appreciate that like I do now. But you know what? I saw the love of God. I saw the joy of the Lord in those men. And I'll never forget it. And you know, somebody may be sitting there today and say, well, Brother Epley, you don't understand. My health is so bad. If I had good health, I would be joyful. I'd be the happiest person in Jasonville. I'd be the happiest person in this county. If I just had good health, then I could have the joy of the Lord. I carry 2 pictures in my Bible. Well, actually, the first picture is my wife. I got that idea from Jack Hiles years ago at pastor school. He said, I carry a picture of my wife right in the front of my Bible. And he said, you ought to do the same thing. Some guy hollered out from the balcony and said, where can we get a picture of your wife? He just glared at him. He usually had a comeback. He just glared. I think he wanted to go up there. But I've got a picture of my wife here. And then after that, though, I've got a picture of John Ashford. John Ashford had cerebral palsy. This is down in Alabama, church we go to about every year, but John's not there anymore. He's in heaven. He's probably still running laps around heaven because he couldn't get out of a wheelchair. His body, when he tried to shake hands, it was like this. His body was just twisted. But he had a good mind. That's the thing. It's like this good mind was trapped in this body and that couldn't move, that couldn't function. And to shake your hand, he would do like this. And there came a time that his feet turned in like that. They had to have special shoes made for him. But I got a picture of John. I'll show it to you for $5 after this is over. And for 10, I'll give it to you and autograph it. But this is John Ashford with the biggest smile you ever saw. Amen. And my friend, he was having a birthday party here. And he's been presented with a shirt that said Auburn on it. But in church, he would have this great big smile. And he would be sitting back in the back in his wheelchair. And I'll never forget up singing, our family singing, or I'd be preaching. And he'd be back there lifting that twisted arm and saying, Aaron! Aaron! John Ashford. The joy of the Lord. Amen. The other picture that I have is Jason Danielson, paralyzed from the neck down. A freak accident when he was a teenager. A gun went off, went right between his eyes. Did not kill him. I don't know if it was right between the eyes. It shot him in the head. But he did not kill him, but he never could move below the neck again. And this guy always had a smile. Always had a smile. I'd go to his apartment sometimes and visit him. In church, he had a smile. And go to his apartment, and there he was, confined to that bed. Couldn't move a muscle. But smiling, had the joy of the Lord. Wanted to know how you're doing. How are you doing? So that shows right there, my friend, the joy of the Lord is not limited to circumstances. It's not limited to our physical well-being. It's just, and I'll get to where it does come from in a moment, but sometimes the joy just doesn't seem to be there. I know that happens in my life sometimes, and I say, Dear Lord, I need the joy. I don't want to try to make it without joy. And sometimes it's just not there. And what is it? Before I get to this, I don't want to get too far into this, but I want to say this. One more point about the benefits of the joy of the Lord is this, my friend. There is no substitute for having the joy of the Lord in our homes, in our families. Brother Larry Brown, I'm telling you, he'll always be one of my favorite preachers. Brother Larry Brown, and he's the reason why we moved to Iowa, really, to be a part of that church. And I just love his preaching. He's almost 80. He'll be 80 in just a little bit, and still preaching up a storm. Traveling all over the country. But I heard him one time, he was bringing some messages on the family, on the home. And one night he got up and he said, I'm preaching tonight about the most foundational truth about the home. He said, what I'm preaching about tonight is more important than discipline. And that is important. He said, it's more important than standards. And that is very important. He said, this is more important than having a family altar. And by this time, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat thinking, what is it? What is more important than all this? He even said more important than doctrine. And then, as only Brother Brown can do, he leaned over that pulpit and he said,
you better get happy. You better get happy.
He said, because if you're not happy, those kids don't care what you've got. If you don't have a happy home, they don't want a home like you've got. And I've never forgotten that. And my friend, discipline is important, and standards are important, and doctrine is important, and family altar is important. But oh, how we need a happy home, a joyful home. Now, if the joy is not there, we ought to ask ourselves this question. Am I trusting God right now? Is there something that I'm not trusting God with? And that's very important, because turn with me to Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16, verse number 20. Here's a good verse. If you're there, say amen. Proverbs 16, 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. That's just about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8 words there. Would you say that with me? Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Let's say it together. Ready? Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Say it again with me. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Amen. There's a source of joy right there, just trusting in the Lord. The Lord loves to be trusted. He's just like us. We're made in his image. You want people to trust you. You're offended if somebody does not trust your word. And you know what? God is not happy when we're not trusting him. And God will not give us joy. We won't have that joy if we're grieving the heart of God by not trusting him. And right now, I want you to just think for a moment. I want you to just take a real quick inventory of your life. What is it right now that you're not trusting the Lord with in your life? What is it? You don't have to tell anybody about it, but it's good to be aware of it. It's good to do some praying about it and say, Lord, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time trusting you with this. You know, we sing the song, In God's Hands, that we just need to put it in God's hands, whatever it is. But we found out that's a good song to sing, but it's not that easy to do it. And many times I say, Lord, help me. But you know, I'm not alone. There's a man in the Bible that had that same thing. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And you know what? Found out he had enough belief to get the job done. He had some unbelief, but he said, Lord, help me with that. And he got what he came for. He had a demon-possessed son, and Jesus delivered that boy. And I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, help me to trust you. Help me. But don't ever forget this, my friend. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And brother, if we're neglecting our Bible, if we're neglecting the word of God, then that's one reason, big reason why the joy is not there. We don't have that fullness of joy. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to just have spasms of joy, just joy once in a while. He wants us to have fullness of joy. That's his desire. That's what he wants to give us. And my friend, there's nothing like it. The world has nothing to compare with the joy of the Lord. We got people out here taking these drugs, and it's horrible. Drugs are everywhere. And of course, alcohol is a drug, and it's a horrible thing. And people do that to get high so they can experience that high. But then they come crashing down, and the next day's horrible. And their whole life becomes horrible just for that moment that they can have their high, my friend, we can live in a high of the joy of the Lord. And it's right. You won't feel guilty the next day. You'll feel good about it. It's something we ought to desire. It's something we ought to pray for. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. And faith is trusting Him. That's what faith is. Here's another thing. If the joy is not there, we need to ask ourselves, not only am I trusting the Lord, is there something I'm not trusting the Lord with? But we need to ask ourselves, have I grieved the Holy Spirit? Have I grieved the Holy Spirit of God? Or have I quenched the Holy Spirit? Two things that God says don't do. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, and don't quench the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit who produces this fruit that flows out of our life. And the fruit of the Spirit is number one, love, and number two, joy. It's a product of the fruit of the Spirit of God. And I believe with all my soul, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it'll be flowing out of us. And that joy will be flowing out of our lives. And I may preach on that tonight. I'm not sure. So I'm not going to delve into it too much. But ask yourself. And you know what? If you ask God honestly and sincerely, Lord, have I grieved the Holy Spirit? He'll tell you. He'll let you know. Lord, have I quenched the Holy Spirit? And by the way, you say, what does grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, we don't have time to really look at it too much, but I think we will. Ephesians chapter number 4, if you'll turn there, here's some things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Not just things that we do, but even things that we think, even our attitude can grieve the Holy Spirit. It's in Ephesians chapter number 4 where we find those words in verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, we ought to be happy today. We got salvation. Nobody can take it away from us. Amen. If you're saved today, you're going to heaven. Amen. Because we're sealed unto the day of redemption. And there's nobody can break that seal. But here's some things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, some of these things, you say, I'm not sure what that means. Well, malice, that you got wrath, which is the root word of wrath is to blow smoke like a volcano. You got anger, which is a feeling of displeasure that usually results from injury, mistreatment, opposition. You know, you've got anger, and God tells us, be angry and sin not. It's not that we, you know, we ought to get angry about some things. We ought to be mad at the devil. We ought to be mad at sin. But he says, sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. But then anger can turn into wrath where we blow up like a volcano. And that's terrible when that happens. But all these things, he said, they grieve the Spirit. Then he says in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. You know what? Unkindness grieves the Holy Spirit. When we're unkind, we ought to be the kindest people on the face of the earth. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Oh my, is there anybody today you have not forgiven? Is there anybody you will not forgive? You've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. You say, I can't forgive them. I just can't do it. If God says do it, you can do it. Behind His commands, He puts His omnipotence. He will give you the power to forgive, but you've got to be willing to do it. And you know, when I, every time I bring that up, I know people go into a search right there. They begin to search their heart. Is there somebody that I have not forgiven? But again, I say, if you go to God and ask God, He'll show you. He'll show you. I heard a man say he was praying about something very, very serious. Someone was in the hospital, a loved one was in the hospital. And he said, I was praying so much for God to deliver that person. And he said, as I began to pray, a face came before my mind. A face of a man that I had not forgiven. He had done me wrong, and I had not forgiven him. And he said, right then and there, I had to forgive that man. And that just means release the debt in your heart. You're saying, you don't owe me. You don't owe me. I no longer will hold you responsible for that. You don't owe me anymore. I'm not going to keep this in the forefront of my mind. I forgive you. You may not be able to forget. You may not. We're human. God can forget. He blots it out of His mind. Remember it no more. And we may not be able to do that, but my friend, we can refuse to think about it. Put it in the back of the mind. Ask God to help us. Put it behind us. And forgive that person. And this man said, I had to do that. And you know what? God came through and answered his prayer for the loved one who needed healing. But all these things grieve, and I'm sure many other things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then the last thing is, if the joy's not there, are you in the Word? Are you in the Word like you should be? Are you reading the Bible? Let me ask you this, not just reading the Bible, but are you loving the Bible? Are you feeding on the Bible? Is it sweet to you? I told you my old grandma was a saint. She was holy. She walked with God. She said she knew I was going to be a preacher. She said she knew I was going to marry Benita. And she just walked with God. And you know, she wrote a song. She wrote a song. I never knew it until her funeral. And a friend said, your grandma wrote a song. And she sang some of it for me. And I got the words to that song. And here it is. Just a little bit of it anyway. It's called God's Letter. Wonderful the story of that home in glory, written in God's holy word. Every word revealing brings a newborn feeling. Sweetest letter ever heard. God's letter, God's holy letter, written to the saved and those who roam. Read it night and morning with its love adorning. It's just like good news from home. Amen, my friend. Hey, don't just read the Bible, love the Bible. Read it like a love letter from heaven. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us to have the joy of the Lord. Help us to pray, Lord, search me, O God, search me. Why don't I have that fullness of joy? And Lord, I'm sure you'll show us. In Jesus' name, amen.